Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody. This is Candy. I am your host here at Mindscape Artist, and you can reach me at www.mindscapeartist.com on my website. You can also go and join my Facebook group at Mindscape Artist. If you pull that up, the group should come up for you. I am just going to just shortly recap some of the things that I talked with Dora Jones about on my previous episode, where we talked for a good while about moving from relationship to union and how many of us are in relationships, but many of us are not able to achieve union because of the inability to accept and integrate. And I'm going to break that down as we get deeper into this. Before I do, I definitely want to make sure that before we get started, that we take a deep breath. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. Exhale. And just do that a couple of times. In and out. In and out. And we're going to do that because I want you to be present in this space. We have so much going on, and I truly believe that the mind is where God dwells when fear is completely cleared out. We do know that the mind houses fear because the mind is actually what we calculate from. And because we calculate based on past experiences in order to avoid pain, the mind is actually where we can get stuck. So when we hear news, we go over and over in our mind how we can avoid that which we've heard if it's not good. Okay? Even if we hear something good, we go over and over in our mind, what are some of the possible roadblocks that can come in between us and the good? And when we do that, we tend to put ourselves in a lower vibration because our dominant energy is avoiding pain. And because our dominant energy is avoiding pain, we actually focus on the pain. And we bring more pain. And the vibe gets lower and lower and lower. And before you know it, we are manifesting that which we are afraid of because we focused on it. We fed it. We put our energy into it. So what we're going to put our energy into this evening is going to be union. Coming together. And some of the notes that I took away, we talked about the five shifts that need to take place. We didn't really break it down. We did more of a discussion mode, but I'm going to break it down. And one of them was a common goal. And having a common goal, you become one mind. And we all know that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, which simply means that the conscious and the subconscious is at odds. Therefore, man is at war with himself. But when we're coming together, where two people are coming together to seek union, and we have one mind against the other, the same thing happens. Right? So as we can be at war within ourselves, also can we be at war with our loved ones and the people that we seek union with. The second thing is communication. How can we communicate this one common goal that we have? Well, one may communicate one way, the other may communicate another way. We may both be saying the same thing, but because we're interpreting it different, we are expressing different, it is thought that we're not on the same page. And we also have heard that fools don't care to understand, but they want to voice their own opinion. That is one of the number one roadblocks to communication, is the lack of desire to want to understand, to want to get your own opinion across, so much so that you just choose not to understand the other, and then it goes further and further into the abyss. You grow further and further apart, and the common goal gets lost. The communication gets lost. The next thing, the third shift that needs to take place, is the acceptance of difference. So if we can accept the difference, we could probably communicate better, because we know that the other person may or may be different, and we're ready to respond to that difference. But when we can be in agreement, regardless of what that person's opinions are, our souls can still be in agreement. And we talked about wanting the other person to win. When you want the other person to win, that actually can put the soul's in agreement, because whether I agree with what you're saying or not, I still want you to win. So I'm still going to be overall in agreement with you. All right, so the next thing is integration of contrast, meaning living in that agreement, meaning that, yes, we have differences, but I'm still in agreement with your soul because I want you to win. Now I'm willing to actually move and live in that agreement. As I move and live in that agreement, we build trust, right? Because I know no matter how off track I get, you're still going to be in agreement with my soul. You still want me to win. Still going to be able to communicate. We have our common goal in mind. So we're integrating the contrast. And the fifth is borrowing from one another. I read from a text last night, and I actually read from the World Scripture, a comparative anthology of sacred texts. And I read about how the universe borrows one from the other, how the moon borrows from the sun borrows from the moon, the sky borrows from the earth borrows from the sky, and how the stars borrow from the atmosphere, and the atmosphere borrows from the stars. And if you go back and listen to that episode, you get to hear those rich jewels that I shared from the World Scripture. And it talks about how being able to borrow from one another without feeling resentment. That's very important, because at one moment I may need to borrow from you. At another moment you may need to borrow from me. But in borrowing from each other, because we do have the common goal of one mind, because we do have the ability to be able to communicate and not just voice our opinions, because we do accept each other's differences, because we are in agreement with each other's soul, and because we do integrate the contrast, because we're living in that agreement, we're able to borrow from one another without resentment. Isn't that beautiful? Being able to borrow from one another without resentment. And the bonus that I took from that was what Dora said when she said, if I love me, I let you in. If I love me, I let you in. I thought that was so powerful, because so many times we try to protect ourselves. So many times we try to avoid pain, as I was speaking earlier. And in trying to avoid pain, we actually avoid love. We have to open up. We have to let things in, let people in, let opinions in, let energies in. And we have to be able to trust ourselves that we'll be able to filter out what's for us and what's not for us on the fly. Because if you never let people and things and energy in, you miss out on so many of the jewels that this world has to offer through experiences. Also, I want to talk about the shifts, astrological shifts. We're moving from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. We've been feeling this for some time, and we're still feeling it. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything bad, but because it's changing and transitioning, we actually feel like it's bad. And because we feel like it's bad, we feel like we need to do something outside of ourselves to remedy it, when all we need to do is continue to balance the energy within ourselves, and balance and reciprocity, healing will come. So what does it mean? A Pisces is more of an enmeshment energy, where you blend into your partner, you adjust to them, you check their temperature, you make your temperature the same as their temperature because you want to be on the same page. So whatever page they're on, you kind of get off your page to get on their page. And you do it without even realizing it, because that is the conditioning of Pisces. It is the fish. It is ruled by mutable water, which means that it can kind of mutate without a lot of effort. It can sacrifice itself without feeling a whole lot of pain like some of the other signs do. Pisces can give of itself because it's just that way. It just has that mutable, dreamy energy. Oh, we can get along so well, and I can make it happen because I am looking at you through rose-colored glasses, and I am also more spiritual, and I'm not really suffering in body like that. I'm not as attached to the body, say, as Aries is. So I'm not going to feel that discomfort, even if it's codependent, even if it's a little bit addictive. I'm not going to necessarily feel that in my body because I'm not as attached to it. It is more important for the Pisces energy to enmesh and blend in with their partner. That sounds good, but without balance, that can lead to resentment and a breakdown, because everyone gets tired at some point. Then we have Aquarius. So moving from enmeshment, we have this transition into detachment. When you hear about detachment, it gets a negative connotation, but detachment is not really negative. What detachment means is that I'm still able to be an individual while remaining connected to you. Detachment means that I'm not attached to your opinion of me, but I still value your opinion. Detached means that I still feel love for you, but that love's not necessarily going to change just because you're angry with me. I'm not attached in that way, right? I have Moon in Aquarius, so I can identify with the Aquarian energy where people accuse us of being detached. They misinterpret that as not feeling, and that's totally not the case. Aquarians have very deep emotions, but they think deeply about their emotions. They don't just jump in to them and swim in the depths of the ocean like a Pisces does, right? They're thinking about their deep emotions, right? Then we have Pisces. The age of Pisces was full of dreaminess, idealistic views, living in idealism, where you feel like it should be this way, therefore I should be this way in order to ensure that it is that way, where you take responsibility for things being idealistic. So if it means coming out of yourself a little bit in order to make this happen, and none of this is bad, it just requires some balancing. Because Pisces can get lost. And when Pisces get lost, Pisces doesn't really know what to do with themselves, because they kind of try to swim back to themselves and they realize, oh my goodness, I let this relationship pull me way out here. And although I'm comfortable in the water, I've lost who I am because I've enmeshed so deeply and identified so deeply with the other. And so Pisces has to constantly be reminded to come back to themselves. Another thing a Pisces energy will do is kind of get lost in addiction once they lose themselves to try and escape the fact that they've been pulled away from themselves, which pulls them even further out. Well, getting lost in relationships and coming back to shore, Aquarians remind us, and the Aquarius energy reminds us of the hard truth. The hard truth is something that kind of jolts you out of that idealistic view and makes you look at the reality of what's happening so that you can adjust yourself accordingly and say, hey, I need to get myself together, pull myself together. So relationships are going through this where people are not being enmeshed with each other. They're not having this dreamy way of being together, but they are actually focusing on the truth of the matter. You know, what are we working with here? I like this. I don't like this. I'm going to do this about it. I'm not going to do this about it. You know, this needs to be done. That needs to be done. Okay, and then next we're moving from codependence to interdependence. Codependence is a little bit like the enmeshment, where you get so involved in meeting the needs of your partner that you forget about your needs, that your need actually becomes to meet the needs of the partner. And we get lost in that, and we feel like that is the right thing to do. That's how we've been taught, that if you're not meeting the needs of your partner, you're a bad partner. Okay? Even if it's at the expense of your own needs. Okay? Well, Aquarius invites us to look at interdependence and understanding that interdependence is so very important when it comes to self-reliance, taking care of the self, and then utilizing that strength of self-care to help the other, where you don't let your resources go down so much so that you're running on empty. That way, you're able to remain objective while still at the same time caring for the other. This is so, so very important. But for whatever reason, we are so hardwired after all of this time in the age of Pisces to feel guilty when we don't put aside ourselves for the other, right? Well, Aquarius is here to help us balance that out. So remember, when we switch from one energy to another, it doesn't mean you negate the other energy. It means you build on top of that energy. Okay? You build on top of it. And when you build on top of that energy, what happens is you automatically will balance out where you're able to meet the needs of the other while meeting your needs as well without the resentment. Okay? So I wanted to bring that all together because I thought that it was so important because you get so involved in reaching your goals that you forget that you need a common goal when you want to work with others. You get so involved in communicating and how you feel that you forget that you need to understand the other. You get so involved in wanting people to be of like minds that you forget that you have to accept the differences of others. We get so involved of, you know, rejecting the differences in others that we don't know how to live in agreement. And we forget that we do borrow from one another, whether we realize it or not. And we have to realize that we have to do that without resentment. It's simply sharing yourself, right? So as we balance out the energies between Pisces and Aquarius, I want to also remind you of the importance of commitment. Commitment means that we bring what we have within and without together for the good or completion of a goal or desire. That goes back to that common goal. And the word, the way that the word, it means to pledge oneself, to follow through, or to obligate yourself to someone or something. And if you look at history, it is shown that when times are hard, humans will commit to things that they normally wouldn't have the guts to commit to. Like during the Depression, marriages were a luxury. Even if you were unhappy, if you had someone, you knew that having a helpmeet meant that you were going to have a better chance of surviving. But because we live in a time of perceived safety and security and goodness and abundance, we take partnership for granted. And we feel like we can do it all on our own. And we can't. We've had this issue with the coronavirus that has forced couples together that probably haven't been in the same house at the same time in months or years. Now everybody's quarantined and they have to be together, right? So the meaning of the word commitment has evolved over the years, yet it has remained the same. Early meanings lean towards giving charge or to entrust. And it comes from the Latin word, and it means unite and connect or combine or bring together. Like com, C-O-M, that means together. And midi means to send, right? So when you're talking about commitment, it means to send yourself to come together for something that's common. And Howard Thurman said, commitment means that it is possible for a man to yield the nerve center of his consent to a purpose or cause, a movement or an ideal, which may be more important to him than whether he lives or dies. Wow. Wow. Overcoming the nerve center of his consent to a purpose or cause or movement or an idea which may be more important to him than whether he lives or dies. That is a cousin to discipline, because we talked about that yesterday. You have to have the discipline in order to commit. And the discipline is what's missing out of so many things, and we'll talk about that later because we got plenty of episodes to go to talk about it, right? But farmers would commit to having large families because, you know, they needed large amounts of children in order to help take care of the farm. Most farm families had at least like 8 or more children to help work the farm. And before integration of blacks and whites, they were committed to their race because they had to stick together, right? We had to patronize black-owned businesses because white businesses wouldn't allow us to step foot in white establishments. During times of war, soldiers were committed unto death to defend their country and would do whatever they had to do to prepare for that commitment. However, the funny thing about commitment is that it seems to need something very important that it needs to be attached to in order for it to be activated. There almost has to be, like the quote said, a life or death feeling that overtakes one's soul in order for commitment to even become a thought. Wow. So when we talk about commitment in a love union, why is it so hard to come by? Why do people fail to commit to one another? Is it because they don't see the other or the union as bigger than themselves? That whole goal, that common goal, that one mind, that integration of the contrast, that seeing the union as bigger than the self, seems to be missing. Now, we don't have to get rid of that just because we're coming into the age of Aquarius. We can integrate that. And as we integrate that, we can do that without feeling like we're losing something. We have to stop approaching love with the spirit of loss. I did a reading the other day where the Lover's card came out with the 5 of coins, and it was about loss, love and loss, love and loss. Love and loss can't go together. Because love is of a very high vibration, loss is of a very low vibration. And when you go into a love relationship feeling like, I don't want to lose, how can I keep from losing? What if they take this from me? What if they take that from me? What if I come up with the short end of the stick? That is what is actually keeping people from moving into union, because moving into union requires commitment, and commitment requires something larger than the self to connect to, so that when the going gets tough, you don't give up. You remain committed to that something that's bigger. And really, that something that's bigger should be the promise that you've made to each other, that you're going to come together. Now, if you are in relationship and you don't have the intention of coming into union, you're wasting your time. Because one thing about a relationship that's not able to be integrated into you is that you're constantly going to feel a pull. You're constantly going to feel like you're at a loss. You're constantly going to feel like, hey, I'm giving, but I'm not receiving. So realizing that you've got to be in union with yourself, number one. You can't be double-minded. You can't be at a point where you're feeling like you're going to lose. Because, again, the vibration of love and loss contradict each other. You're going to be stuck. If you're finding yourself stuck, it is because there's conflict within you. And the conflict within you very rarely has anything to do with the other person. It has to do with the conflict because you picked the person for a reason. Somewhere along the lines, you forgot why you picked them. Or you could have picked them, but at the same time, you could have gotten to a point where you picked them in a state where you were at a low vibration. They reflected that as you began to raise your vibration, come to your senses. And you're like, oh my God, what did I do? Well, what you have to ask yourself is, where were you when you picked this person? So where was I when I made this choice? What was I trying to accomplish? Was I just trying to get out of a bad situation and I was losing? And I tried to take that losing energy, mix it in with some love energy, and I ended up recreating what I just got out of. That happens all the time. I'm in a horrible situation. Oh, my God, I have to get out. I'm not happy. I'm discontent. I'm worried. I'm anxious. I'm feeling like I'm drowning, and I need to get out. Somebody save me. Boom. Your calls are heard. Someone comes, but guess what? They are embodying the very same energies that you're calling out from, which is why a lot of the times when you go from one relationship to the other, you actually get the polar opposite of what you're coming out of, or you get the same thing, no balance, no resolution. And what happens is, you end up back to square one. Oh, my God, how can I get out of this? I'm drowning. I need help. I'm anxious. I'm fearful. I'm losing. Somebody help me. Boom. They hear you. They call. So I'm saying that to say that you're constantly manifesting. Times are changing. Energies are shifting. It's a lot going on. We're moving from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. People are looking at things with more open eyes, more truth. They're attacking things or coming at things in a little bit more of an aggressive, straightforward way. You might still be stuck in an idealistic, romantic way. This person may have integrated into the energy of Aquarius and may be looking more for friendship. Because moving from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius is about moving from romance to friendship. Right? Doesn't mean you have to come out of romance. But what it could mean is that you need to build a friendship on top of that romance, right? So think about your energy, where you are now. When you think about relationships, what is the first word that comes to your mind? I can tell you from my experience that the first feeling that came to my mind coming out of my divorce and into being a divorced mother of two, stepping into my own power as an individual, coming out of union, I was thinking relationships are in the way. They are a problem. They're a distraction. That's what I thought of relationships. Really, until recently, I didn't even realize it. So when I was thinking of relationship, I was thinking distraction. I need to keep the relationship in a place where it doesn't get in my way. It doesn't get messy. It doesn't keep me from graduating college. It doesn't keep me from raising my children. It doesn't keep me from getting the job that I want. It doesn't keep me from buying the home that I want. I don't have time for distractions. I'm in a survival mode. I'm in my ego. And that was the energy that I was carrying. Then when my children graduated, and I looked at the relationships around me, and the relationship I was in at the time, he was like, "Hey, what's up? What are we doing?" And I realized, wow, I'm not even prepared. My vibration is still in. Relationships are a distraction. So I have to pull back. I have to readjust my energy. And I have to change my frequency from distraction to union. From distraction to union. Now, I'm not asking myself, do I want union? Because I know I need union. I'm wise enough to know that. What I have to do, number one, is not live in guilt for feeling like relationships are a distraction. Going ahead and integrating that shadow part of me that felt like it was a distraction and realize that what I needed, what I need now is union, and it's okay, right? So now I'm sending out a whole different vibration of a common goal, communicating to understand, willingness to accept difference and be in agreement with the soul of the other, the willingness to integrate the contrast and live in the agreement of the difference that we have, being willing to borrow one from another without resentment, without feeling like it's in the way, without feeling like, oh my God, what do you want now? I used to be that way, for real. What do you want? I'm trying to raise these kids. What do you want? I'm trying to finish school. What do you want? I'm trying to save my money so I can get this house. What do you want? When really, all they probably wanted was union, right? I don't know. I wasn't taking the time to figure it out. I was in the habit of being in relationship. So, yes, I was not alone, never alone. And I took pride in that. Never been alone, you know. But I was not in union. Not in union. So, as I go from this journey from relationship to union, I'm bringing you with me. And I'm so excited about it. And I'm so excited about the connections that I'm making with people who also want to move from relationship to union. Doesn't necessarily have to be an intimate partner. Union is required for all relationships, with your children, with your friends, okay? Just on different levels. So, think about the first word that comes to your mind when you think about relationships. And if it's anything less than love and union, sharing, caring, common goal, acceptance, understanding, borrowing from one another, living in agreement. If it's anything less than that, you're probably going to want to go on this journey with me. So I invite you to come with me on the journey, not to love. That's going to be automatic because you're going to be learning to love yourself along the way. Not to relationship, because you're probably already in a relationship, but to union, Let's get excited about unification. Because when you think about the conscious and the subconscious, when you think about the contrast, when you think about the parts of yourself that are not unified and how miserable, disjointed, and cut off you can feel, disunification creates resentment and depression and sickness and all kinds of dis-ease. So if you want your relationships to be free of dis-ease, you've got to get them unified. And you have to become unified within yourself before you can become unified with someone else. Unification within the self is all about blending the shadow self, integrating the shadow self with the I am. You need all of you. Don't leave any of you out when you come to a relationship. Bring the whole unified self and invite your partner to bring their whole unified self. Make a commitment that you're going to love the differences, the contrast. You're going to live in agreement. You're going to constantly borrow from one another, like the sun borrows from the moon from the sun, and the earth from the sky, and the sky from the earth. Wow, how beautiful that can be. We've had flashes of it, but how many of us have truly, truly lived in union with ourselves before we unify or try to unify with the other? Come on. Let's go on this journey. Let's do it. I hope that this has been enlightening and inspiring. I hope that I lit the candle of desire for you wanting to be in union in your relationships and within yourself. If I have, reach out to me. Let me know. In letting me know, let me know how you want to be in union. What you would like for your common goal to be. Okay? And let's converse about it so we can move this thing forward for yourself and others. So in the meantime, my cosmic friends, reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. I know you can do it. Bye.